right. 1 John 2:15 says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, your word is good. We're grateful for it. Father, we're grateful to be in this warm building here in a place where it is safe for us to preach such things. Lord, I pray this, that we never lose our gratitude for how much you've given us. Lord, help us to see the evil that is in the world and its philosophies, and Lord, the dangers of loving even the innocuous things too much. Help us, Father, to stand firm upon your word and live lives that bring you honor and glory. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It is a very, it kind of stands out a little bit, the way we are told not to love the world. Now, the weird thing is, though, are we not told to love our parents? And our parents are supposed to love the children. Why, yes, we are. Now, what about the people? Does the world mean the people? Well, the Bible tells us, as we've talked about time in and time again as of late, we are to love our neighbor. We are to love our enemies. So we're not talking about the world, because we are supposed to love the people. We're not talking about people being the world. What are we talking about? We're talking about this place, and the things of it, and the things in it. We find systems. We find thoughts and ideas. We even find things here on earth that are enjoyable, that we ought not to love too much. We look at the word love there. Love in Greek has many different words that they use. We only use one. So whenever they use the word love, no matter what word they use, in English, we're just stuck with the one vehicle to cover them all. Right? I'll sit there and I will tell you, I love my shoes. They're comfortable. They're nice. They're great. I love my children. Now you put those two sentences together, you go, now wait a minute. Do you love your shoes and you love your children? Do you love them the same? Obviously not. However, in Greek, they would have different words. So they would say, for my shoes, I storge my shoes. I like them. I love them for what they are. They are a thing. Loving a thing or loving something like that would have one particular way of saying love. Then they've got that word for that, as we learned in the movie Bambi, Twitter pated. You know, just, your heart fluttering and you're nervous and your palms are sweaty kind of love. We call that infatuation today. They would have called that eros, as that kind of love. What John is telling us here is, do not agape this world. I can love my dog. I can love my my yard, I can love my whatever, but I cannot agape those things. Agape is the kind of love that God has for us. It is a perfect. It is a love that when we have it, changes us. It is a love that affects us. I agape my children. I agape my wife. That is the way we love. That love changes who we are. It affects and it shapes us. God so agaped the world that he gave his only son, right? He loved. So he did what? He did something. He changed into flesh. Came down to earth. That is a kind of deep love. That is a specific love. I always bothers me every now and then. I get to talking to somebody. I was talking to a doctor recently, and I was telling him, you know, about my kids. And as I do, I brag about my kids. And he goes, oh, yeah, I know what you feel. I was just taking my dog for a walk the other day. That bothers me. That bothers me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To me, there's a difference. You know, I love my kids a certain way. I love my dog a certain way. We've lost dogs in the past. I was wrecked. But the kind of love you have for one creature that you bend your entire life around is way different than the kind of creature you put into a cage at the end of the day. You know what I mean? And they'll sit there and say, well, that's not very compassionate. That's not very loving. You've got to understand how we feel. I don't think you understand how I feel. Parenting is different. I'm not allowed to put them in cages no matter what they do. Right? That doesn't matter how rowdy they are. Putting them outside until they calm down, while effective, is not good when the temperature's not right. It's different. It's a different thing altogether. I can love a dog in a very brotherly, phileo kind of way, but I cannot agape an animal the way I would do my children. And that is what we are told. Do not sacrificially love the world. Don't do it. And don't love the things of it that way. Can I enjoy a sunrise? Yes. But should I ever love that sunrise on the same level that I love God? Perish the thought. Because here comes the winter with its cloudy days. Then must my heart be broken. I cannot love a car the way I ought to love God. Why? Because that car's got about 15 to 20 years on it. Less if it was made in the last 15 or 20 years. Right? Before it begins to deteriorate. Remember Jay Leno's great car collection? Oh, did you hear that burned down? That garage caught fire and burned down? That man loved his cars. And what happened? I got anything ugly to say about collecting cars. But I'm just saying, he loved them. They're gone. You can't bring them back. The things of this world comes and goes. You can't love it on the same level as God. Even the best, most enjoyable parts of life, they come and then they go. I ran into some people I haven't seen in a couple of years in the last few weeks, and they looked at the kids. Wow, look how big they are. And we're always in that conundrum where you kind of see one getting taller. Just had to buy a new size of pants for Xander. And you're sitting there and you're in this big kid section with your baby boy, or shopping for your baby boy. He wasn't with me. And I'm sitting there going, these pants are too big for him, surely. Surely my boy ain't this big. And they are. We love moments. We love things. But I tell you what, you cannot love even the most precious of things, like picking out clothes for your children. You can't love them on the same level as you love God. Favorite outfits come and go. Favorite places to eat, favorite places to shop, they come and they go. Even people who aren't properly fit into our lives, they will come, they will go. Oh, we must love God above and beyond such things. And we must never let our heart be stitched too close to the things here. We used to have a saying for that. Don't put your tent stakes in too deep. We're just traveling. We're just here to visit on this blue marble. We're not here to dig too deep or to set up a camp. We're not here to live. We are just passing through. These things, they will pass. These things, they will not do for you what they promise that they will do. I think so often of this. Online shopping. Oh man, remember back when you used to have to get dressed, go in the car and go somewhere to go shopping? And I tell you what, very soon the physical store, that's going to go away. You want to know why online shopping has become so popular? And I'm not picking on it if you do it. But you know why it's become so popular? Because you could just sit there and be like, oh, I need tent stakes. Go and get tent stakes. They'll show up tomorrow. You don't have to go to the store. You don't have to open your wallet. You don't have to dig out the cash or pull out the card to hand it over. You just got to sit there at your desk, send, and items show up. And after a while, your mind disassociates it from actual shopping, and you crave to do more. My mom was telling me about this lady that shops next to her, or that works next to her, and she's always on that app, and she went from Amazon to that Temu thing. And the thing about Temu is that every advertisement I have seen for the last few months has been Temu, 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 Temu. And I'm like, oh boy, it's just everywhere. You sit there, you get on that. Okay, well, I need 4 pillowcases. So you get 4 pillowcases. Hey, by the way, while you're looking at pillowcases, how are your pillows? Would you like some more pillows? And, oh, you know what? That one pillow is getting a little weird. Let's go ahead and get another pillow. You know what? I don't want to get just one pillow. I might as well get all the pillows the same. There we are. Hey, while you're shopping for pillows, have you looked at duvet covers? Well, I don't know. I had the same duvet cover for a while. I guess it is getting kind of bare. Duvet cover. And before you know it, you've bought all this stuff. And you get it in, and you put it in a box, and then you're like, well, one day I'm going to have to open that box to get that stuff out of there. Now, some of you are like, well, I would never do that. You got to understand, from a landlord's perspective, I have seen houses filled with boxes, never been opened. Was it that television shopping network? The QVC, that's what it was. Walked into a lady's house, and I promise you, QVC would literally be the death of her. One of those boxes fell, that would be it. I go, well, what do you get all this stuff for? Well, I get it for me, I get it for relatives, I get it for Christmas. It was January, it was like the first week of January, I was in her house doing her inspection, going, well, Christmas is coming gone. Well, there's another Christmas coming, Matt, that's what it's there for. Okay. She had a love for the things of this world. And how do I know that it changes people? Because you change because of it. That love changes your decision making. Right? Well, I've gotta buy this. I've gotta buy that. I've gotta have this. I've gotta have that. So what do? Oh my, that is a beautiful necklace. I don't know who would get it, but I gotta get it. And they go and they make decisions based on their love for a thing that does nothing but hurt them. I've had to sign an eviction notice on a lady because her house was so filled with unopened packages that you could not walk through it. She was a health hazard. You couldn't get to the bathroom for the amount of belongings that she had. It took us noticing she was coming down to the office to use our bathroom to realize there was a problem. It changes who you are when you love the things of the world. And you sit there with this normally minded human being going, what on earth? Why on earth? You are so rational. You've got this big job. This can't be who you are. Some of them changed for it. And I'm picking on that. But there's 1,000 things we're willing to compromise our values for. There's a lot of things we know better, but we do anyway. Because we love the things of the world. I used to have people I'd compete at work with. What's that? You got a promotion? All right, how'd you get that? You need this, 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 and that to get that job title? All right. We had at our work, we could sit there, we could print off the job qualifications in order to jump up a level. Love that business, man. You just print that off. What do I need? Okay. So I knew what to clean up, what to change, what to doctor, what you want to make sure you doctor up in myself, make sure it was right. Then I'd sit there, I'd go forward, you know, 6 weeks of this, 4 months of that, no problem, head on into the boss. Hey, boss, would like a review so I could possibly be considered for this this new level? They'd say, sure. And all of a sudden, boop, there I am. They'd see me coming, they'd go up a level, then I'd go up 2 levels, and they'd go up 3 levels. We were fighting back and forth. Why? Well, isn't it good to be successful? Isn't it good to be the top dog in the business? It changes who you are. Changes your values of things. What's the purpose of all that? I mean, granted, it's good. It's good to be a diligent worker. But the purpose of your diligence is to beat other people or to have some pride for yourself. That's no good. That'll hurt you. The days where you start to slip, when you're no longer able to keep up at that level, you all of a sudden feel bad about yourself and you fall into the dangers of ego and self-esteem. All of a sudden, I'm not as perfect as I want to be, so now I feel bad about myself, and now I've got all these negative emotions I've got to deal with. Why? Because I've worshipped at the altar of pride too long. I've loved pride too much, and it's stolen from me. It is taken from me. We cannot love this world nor the things of it. Don't love its philosophies. We've been looking at that on Sunday nights. Don't love the philosophies of this world. They don't work. They're dangerous. God will judge you for them. But don't love the things of it too much. I want you to consider the children of Israel for a second. What were they in Egypt? Slaves. Now, if I were to ask, who here wants to go and work for free while the taskmasters whip at you? And you've got to complete a certain amount of work, or there are ration cuts and things like that. Who here wants to go work like that? Very few hands would ever shoot up. Why? Because it's backbreaking, it's heartbreaking, and it's unhealthy. You get nothing out of it. And yet, when pulled from that place, pockets jangling with the gold of Egypt, with food and cattle and everything with them. They're walking through, and as they're walking, they realize there's no place to hang their head. There's no solid roof, just a tent, and they start to cry. What are they crying for? Oh, the cucumbers. Oh, the leeks. Where God was leading them, they could grow cucumbers. They could grow leeks. They do it there today. Hey, you, yeah, just that, but they had milk and honey. They had grapes so plenteous, it took multiple people to carry just one bushel of them. Just one bundle of them. Could you imagine all that God had for them? But what were they crying for out there in the wilderness? All the cucumbers, all the leeks. The things of this world will cause trials in your mind, will develop weaknesses in your mind. Why is it that we can't see people out in public anymore without sitting there staring at their cell phones? I was waiting somewhere. I took a book in with me. I got weird looks. It was in a waiting situation. I had to go out in the weight room. I was in the weight room. I was waiting with a book. And you know, everybody else, cell phones out, dingling. You know why they do that? It's a little, in our house, we call that the dopamine slot machine. You just roll and you roll and you roll, and it makes you feel, oh, okay. Oh, that's a cute picture. Oh, no, they did not. Oh, that's awful. That's it. Little bells, little lights every now and then, and it's a good time. You know, they love that. That's why they can't get rid of it. That's why you see families sitting there at the dinner table, either at a restaurant or at the house, and everybody's got something going. You know, the kids got everybody's got their earphones on. Nobody's communicating. The house could be on fire. Nobody would know. It's a very dangerous thing. Why? Because they have fallen in love with something. You know, why is it that we fall into a lot of things? An overabundance of watching sports, an overabundance of this, an overabundance of that. Why? Because we fall in love with the things. What about weight problems? Let's pick on the preacher for a second. All right, talk about cucumbers and leeks. Why is it that we fall into these things? Because we like them. We fall in love with something that's detrimental to us. And we go against our better nature of things. That is the danger of falling in love with the things of the world, is that it will change you. It will tempt you. If I love too much the things here on this earth, to where I love it to the point to where I'm agape loving it, that perfect, that giving kind of love with an object, it's not good. It's not something we need. Something we talk about so often is video game addiction. These young men that grew up playing video games for hours at a time become grown men who are sitting there six, seven hours a day, sat down doing naught but playing. Oh, what a weird thing for a man to do. Some of you, when you were their age, you were in the military. Some of them, when you were their age, you were working jobs that would not allow you to work, to sit there in front of a video game for 6 to 7 hours. To be honest with you, I'm not even entirely sure how one sits for 6 to 7 hours in that way. Oh, but please let us listen. These things, I could name them all day, the things that we agape that we should not agape. The things that we have a giving love for that we shouldn't. We like a lot of things. I like fall, but I don't like fall so much that I hate winter, that I get miserable over things. You know, some people, they do that. Well, I really like this, and it becomes their whole personality. You ever met somebody that doing a thing or having a thing becomes their whole personality? There was this lady I knew one time, she liked the color purple. Liked the color purple. Nothing wrong with liking the color purple. I ain't got no problem with liking the color purple. But if everything you own has to be purple. Now, I'm not talking like, you got your favorite color, this or your favorite. No, I'm talking about clothes, purple. Kitchen appliances, purple. Car, purple. It's purple. If she sees something purple, she would steal something that was purple. Because it was purple and very clearly, you know what? That's too much. And there's a problem there. Right? There's one thing to like something. We all like things. You know, we all have colors that we like to see our things in. We all have preferences. Those are okay. But when your life becomes just wrapped around it, you have a problem. You have a problem. We cannot allow things to become our personality. We cannot allow things to become how people know us for. Oh, hey, I've got to save this because I know somebody who really likes the color purple, and that's the only thing we know about them. I want you to imagine your eulogy where the only thing your family can say about you is that you liked this cartoon or you liked this television show or you liked this or you liked that. And that's the only thing they have of you is that you liked one thing. That's a love that's gone too far. These things pass. Oh, and if things aren't the way we like them, we're willing to argue. We're willing to fight. We're willing to get ugly over things. Some people, they get too highfalutin on stuff. Things that don't matter. Things that just don't have to be. We joke about this here at the church. Oh, I like a good Kogel hot dog. Kogel's the way to go, right? But man, if I was ever at a family cookout and they had a ballpark, I'm not going to sit there and get up on a soapbox. I'm not going to sit there, well, if you guys really thought what y'all... Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to sit there and go, man, I wish it was a Kogel. That's what I'm going to do. I might come back and come and say, man, I was at a thing yesterday. Will you believe they didn't have Kogels? But I'm not going to sit there and throw a child's temper tantrum. Now, here's the thing. You think, well, brother, why would we do that? Why are we even talking about that? Because I'm looking at a world that's doing that. Isn't it weird how adults aren't acting like adults anymore? Adults don't know how to handle disappointment anymore. Adults don't know how to handle bad news anymore. Right? They throw fits over things. How dare you take the last one of these? How dare you be the... How dare you tell me that you're out of this? How dare you tell me that you're closed? How dare you tell me this? How dare you tell me that? Don't you know... You love yourself. You love the things of this world too much when you're willing to act like a fool for them. And folks, that is what sin does. It brings us to acting like a fool for these things. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let us look at these things. The lust of the flesh. I want it. I want it for me. I want to eat this way. I want to have this kind of relationship with people. I want to live a promiscuous lifestyle. I want to go ahead and experience this and have that. When we love the lust of the flesh, we have the lust of the flesh. It will ensnare you. It's not of the Father. It's not. We've got to sit there and be temperate in our actions, temperate in our behaviors, temperate in our reactions. Well, don't you know I got to have it? You don't got to have it. If God says you can't, you can't. If God says no, the answer is no. Oh, but look at society. Everybody else is doing it. When has that ever been a margin of intelligence? When have we ever thrown the popularity of the world or the opinion of the world and said that is the height of wisdom? They're sitting there, they're popping pills for their promiscuous lifestyles. Different things that they've got to do. Different things that they've got to watch. Different things that they've got to listen to, all to make themselves feel something. Something you could feel anyway. Going back to the children of Israel, oh, don't you know, we could grow ourselves some cucumbers. We could grow ourselves some leeks. But don't you understand, to go back to them, I mean, come on, their whips were sharp and their gods were stone. Why would we want to go back to them? Don't you understand what we caused to them? We wiped out their army. We insulted their Pharaoh. We killed their Pharaoh. Do you really think we can go back? And if we could, how are we going to cross the Jordan without God? Oh, the things of the flesh, wanting things, made them want to go back. But there was no way back. They didn't even stop to consider the pain and the punishment that would be brought to them for returning, for they cared for the things of the world too much. Well, we felt this way, we felt that way. Listen, if we still believe that going off that Disney lie, that going off of your feelings is best, you're in trouble. Listen to me. If you believe that satisfying your urges and your feelings will be any good for you, you are in trouble. The heart is a wicked thing. But the heart, let me add, is a random thing. You think you want it. You get it. It's not enough. You went out and you had the affair. You went out and you watched this. You went out and you did that. You fed yourself with this. You did all these things. You think that'll be enough? It's not. It's never just one last beer. It's never one last cigarette. It's never one last look, one last watch, one last experience. It's never one more. The fact that you would sit there and go ahead and do something under the banner of one more tells you everything you need to know about your real intentions here. I have found an excuse to do one more. And guess what you'll find the next day? That same excuse. Oh, I meant to start it. I slipped. It's okay. But tomorrow, right? Or diets, right? When diets start? Monday. And we tell ourselves that on Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday we get up. I'm going to be good. This Monday I'm going to be good. You get all the way through Monday. Monday was rough on you. So what do? You have yourself a very strict, very structured breakfast, very structured lunch. But it was a hard day. So when you go home, you sit there and you get your two chicken breasts. You get a little bit of rice. You get a little bit of peas and a couple bites of the kids' ice cream. And then you go in there and you make yourself a sandwich. And then before you know it, you got another sandwich. And then all you know, there's some chips in there too that will go down. Will go with my sandwich. I was good all day. And you lose your mind. Oh, man, well, I guess I messed up, but you know what? Next Monday, we'll get real serious about this. All right, listen, I know I'm supposed to give up this sin. I know I'm not supposed to do it. I know it's bad. I will repent tomorrow. That is some faith to believe that you're going to be here tomorrow. Because God doesn't promise you tomorrow. And that is a bold thing to say, my sin is wrong tomorrow. But today, I give myself a pass. You know who gets to give you a pass on sin? You know who gives you a pass on sin? There ain't no pass on sin. There isn't one. If it's bad today, it's bad today. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. You get no pass. There is no tomorrow. There is no Monday. There is no, well, at the start of the new year, I tell you what. No. The lust of the flesh is a dangerous thing. Now, what about this? The lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. Oh, I want to see this. I want to see that. There's a lot of terrible things to see nowadays. People who just ain't dressed no more. Why do we forget how to get dressed? Somebody posted a picture one time. It was quite a while ago. It was in women who had kind of looked like prom dresses or whatever it was. And that's exactly what they said. If you told women back in the 1920s that their bathing suits would today be prom gowns, they'd have lost their minds. I go, yeah, kind of. We don't get dressed no more. I mean, you sit there, you go into the store, you'll find clothing half up to here. You don't need imagination anymore walking around. It's terrible. Spend half the time looking up, just trying not to see stuff. How awful. And I'm not even just picking on the ladies. Men ain't got no better. We sit there, we talk about modesty. What does the word modest mean? It means a flowing garment, a loose garment. So when I go into a store and I see a man with his pants suction cup to him, right? That's not modest. That ain't right. Why are you showing that? And of course, you get some people sit there and say, well, no one's going to look at me that way, so it's perfectly all right. Listen to what the words the Bible uses. Modesty. Doesn't say modesty as long as you're attractive. Modesty. Show some respect for your body. Respect your body. Quit giving away like that. Sitting there, well, people need to learn. People ain't going to learn. Listen to me. We will not get rid of bad guys. We're not going to. Now, to be honest with you, I think anybody we got beyond a shadow of a doubt committing crimes like that ought to be killed. That's my opinion. Death sentence for them. That's my opinion. Give them the gospel. Give them time to repent. But that's what we ought to do. But I'm going to tell you this. We're never going to get rid of them. When we sit there and we've got things that kids can get on the internet and see from a very young age, and we bathe them in that expectation. This is what a woman should look like. This is what a man should look like. And we sell them these clothing and we tell them, hey, listen, you got to do whatever you want. By the way, this is what we sell. And I know your mom and dad would never let you wear it, but you got to make your own decisions. By the way, we're selling this. Would you like four or five of them? Here you go. And that's what the kids dress in. That's how they show up to school. I mean, we sit there. There's people that say, I got dress coded in school. How a terrible thing. Listen, you're dressed like that. You ain't dressed. That's your underwear. Come back when you got your clothes on. You ought to be taught some respect for yourself. All right, we're not going to get rid of the bad guys. We can't kill them fast enough. We got kids dressing like that in schools. We put them in front of that pornography as children. We may not put them there, but the world's got it out there. It's billions of dollars in industry. We make it normal. We put it on social media so they can get tastes of it, glimpses of it. We will have bad guys forever. Respect your body. Men and women, respect your body. I'm not going to sit there and say, women, it's your fault if men lust. Man, it's your fault. Get your eyes where they should be. Get your eyes right. But I'm going to say this. Don't commit that sin. Don't commit that sin. Man, it's our responsibility to keep ourselves pure, keep ourselves clean. Ladies, it's your job to dress modestly. Men, it's your job to dress modestly. I don't care. We sit there, we try to qualify the Word of God with our own ideas and our own opinions. We don't have to. Dress this way means dress this way. That's it. We don't get to fight back and forth on it. We don't get to sit there and add to it. Well, the reason why God says that is because it causes men to know. Men, you need to take care of yourselves. Ladies, you need to take care of yourselves. Everybody dress properly. Everybody keep their thoughts pure. The end. That's what the Bible says. We don't need to add to it. All right, but the lust of the eyes, let me see this, let me see that. And then we sit there and we manipulate women into dressing certain ways. And we manipulate men into dressing and looking certain ways. We sit there and we say, all this transgenderism, it's new and it's crazy. We've been dressing men like girls for the longest time. Nobody said anything about it. You sit there, you see the men's hair get a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit more feminine. We see their features getting more feminine, their dress getting more feminine, and then we sit there and we say, well, that's okay, it's with the times, it's in the style. And all of a sudden, Junior comes home as Junior Miss, and you get upset. Oh, that we would be what we are. Dress how we are, dress how we should, and quit putting our eyes on ridiculousness. Oh my, I remember back, I can't remember who it was, but I was in school in the when the fad came back around of men wearing eyeliner. I don't know how it came from. I don't know how it got there. But I just remember looking across the table one time with a guy I was working on a project with. He had eyeliner on. And he goes, you just don't understand. I go, yeah, I don't. He goes, well, the girls like it. Do you really want a girl who likes men in makeup to like you? To me, that'd be frightening. What else does she want? Don't do that. Listen, we can't fall into the lust of the eyes. All right? Those things that you like with your eyes may be no good for you whatsoever. It is amazing to me how in the animal kingdom, bright colors, shining things are a great warning of danger. Right? You'll sit there and you'll see some of these nature documentaries. Brightly colored animals that will kill you. Right? Now here for us people, we'll sit there, we'll see brightly dressed things and brightly colored things and things that look good to us, and we go, oh, there must be no danger in it whatsoever because it looks so good. Beautiful things can be dangerous. Things that we like to look upon, things that we like to put into our eyes, they can be marvelous to see, but still so very dangerous. We see also in this scripture that it's not just the eyes or the flesh. It is the pride of life. I must have. I must obtain. I must own. When people talk to me, I want them to talk to me with a certain respect. Right? When you talk to me, you have this tone about you. I want people to see me as a powerful person, a rich person, or this person, or that person. I want to have the best of all things. I want people to know me for having the best of all things. Listen, get over it. You are just the same person as anybody else. I remember that. I met somebody one time. We were down there doing school. And when you're, when I was in college, you didn't have much. You know, we shopped at the store that had things on sale. That's what we did. In our dorm room, we had all the different leaflets that you would get. Tell us where the cheapest things would be. We would circle them. We would know to go get there. What's that? You've got ramen for 5 cents this week. We are there. So we had all things set up, and we were I said, hey, listen, I got the coupons, and I've got them up there, and I can't remember what discount type store they had down there, but I got the discount code from. We're going to have to go over that later. You're going to like what's on there. I can't remember what it was that was his favorite, but you're going to like what's on there. We're going to head on over there. And somebody in the church goes, you shop there? Now, they had a great big Chrysler SUV. They had a giant house. They had a theater room in the basement. They had everything a person could want. And she curled up her nose at where we were shopping. And it's almost like she completely forgot that we were cut from the same clothing. The only difference was I didn't marry a millionaire. You know, that's what she did, and she got away with it pretty good. I did not. We cannot let pride get into our hearts. Don't you know who I am? You ain't nothing but what God gave you to be. Oh, don't you? I want to have the best. You need to get down on your knees and thank God for giving you what you have. Be grateful for it. Because it could be worse. Could be worse. We need to not have this love of pride, this lust of pride. Let me see, let me have. Let you see me as great and wonderful. That ain't who we are. As it says here in verse 16, these things, they are not of the Father, but they are of this world. And what's the problem with it being from this world? What's wrong with it? What could possibly be wrong from it coming from this world? Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. See, what's going to happen is all these things that we are compromising for, all these things that we are changing for, all these things that we're making excuse for, they're all going to go away. They'll all be gone. And you, who will still be here or will be up there, will have changed for something that didn't stick around. I'll tell you this story. I'm never one for Black Friday shopping, but my brother and I, I'd been off to school and I was very busy. And my brother and I, at the time, we didn't get together much. So down there in Dundee, you've got Cabela's, right? Cabela's was having a sale. They were giving away free gift cards to the first however many people were there. And there was some issues going on at Thanksgiving at Grandma's. So what my brother and I decided we would do is we would get some camping stuff. We would go sit in line. And we would stay in that line, get our gift card, go shopping, and go home. We didn't really need anything from Cabela's, nor did we know what we would do with a gift card. We just thought it'd be a fun brotherly thing to do. So I get down there. I get all set up. Got everything I need. We've got snacks. We've got chairs. We've got warm stuff. And I'm sitting there, and my brother goes, I need to go to the bathroom. And the Cabela's was closed, but there was a gas station up over there, and he was going to head on over there. So he got in his car, and he drove on over there. And I don't know how long he was there before he left altogether, abandoning poor little me there. Now, again, I want to remind you, there was no reason for me to be there. I'm not a Black Friday shopper. I had nothing to buy there, to be honest with you. I didn't have a lot of money to be buying things. I was there because it was a fun experience to have with the fella that just drove off. And I'll tell you what, life can be like that. You'll change for things. You'll make compromises for things. You'll make a fool out of yourself for things that won't stay long, that won't be there. We always think that we can compromise, and if I compromise long enough, eventually, I can create this, and when this happens, I can lay it aside, and everything will be okay. But then everything falls apart. Why? Because that's what things on this planet do. They fall apart. That's what carnal-minded people do to you. They'll leave you. These things cannot be trusted. These things cannot be weighed upon. while there is an importance to things, right? While there is value to things, they should never compromise who we are in Christ to have them. They should never be a source of our definition. I knew a lady, she put everything she had into education because she believed that that degree would define her differently. Now, here's the thing. For those of you who are in college, you're getting degrees. The purpose of your degree is so you can do the job, right? It should not define you. It is the source saying, hey, listen, you've got this education. We certify that this person is able to do this business. That's not why she did it. She did it for pride. She did it so she could sit there. And you know what she did? She didn't just get the degree. She got the master's. And she pushed and she pushed and she pushed. And she did everything. She sacrificed as much as she could. Went into as much student loan debt as she possibly could so she could sit there and say, this is who I am. And then before she could retire, she got deathly ill and could not do that job. Now she's fine now. She's going to live for a while. But she still cannot do that job because of the illness. How do you define yourself? If that is your definition of who you are, if you love pride so much that you sacrificed everything so you could have it, what do you do when it don't stay? Well, I'll tell you what you are. You're stuck in some kind of existential crisis not knowing who you are anymore. You did everything so you could get a title. When that title's gone, what are you? When it would be perfectly possible for her to like what she's doing, to maybe storge or something to kind of love what she's doing, but not define herself, not compromise herself, not trade herself for something that won't stay forever. I've known teachers that have retired. They loved being a teacher. They were teachers. They absolutely had a heart for being a teacher. I can't remember his real name. I do remember that he was teaching for so long that we called him Norman, and he allowed us to call him Norman, not because his name was Norman, but because we're pretty sure he was alive back in the old-fashioned kings and knights days where he could be Sir Norman at one time or another. He said that I talked to him one time. He goes, I'm retiring this year. I go, Norman, what are you retiring for? You're one of my favorite teachers. He goes, because I started looking at the clock. I go, what does that mean? He goes, well, you know how you're always looking at the clock? I go, yeah. He goes, why are you always looking at the clock? I go, because I want to get out. He goes, teacher shouldn't do that. He goes, I don't feel like a teacher anymore. And that stuck with me. He started looking at the clock. Now, if that man put everything he was into that job the day he retires, he ain't nobody. Oh, but if he invested in things that God told him to invest in, if he defined himself the way God defined himself, well, that's a very triumphant exit out of a wonderful career. There's a triumphant exit out of something that was valuable, that was good, that was wonderful. You know, well, I'm not a doctor anymore. Well, I don't know what I am anymore. Well, you should have been more than just a doctor when you were a doctor. Well, I'm not an engineer. I'm not a this. I'm not a that. I'm not a farmer. I'm not a whatever. You should have been more than just that and enjoyed every minute of what you did have. Oh, but when we sit there, well, I'm not this anymore. I don't know what I am. You need to find your definition and what God says you are. One of His children. That is what we are at heart. Everything else is just fun. Everything else is just a blessing. But everything here, it passes. You need to put your spirit, your soul, you need to put your faith, your love in things stronger than the things of this world, because they will, without fail, let you down. It says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Abideth forever. I want you to consider this. The person who is lost must answer for their sin. The person who is saved, when they stand before God, will not be answering for their sin. Their rewards will be affected by their sin. But you still have to be the person who looks God in the face, knowing full well you had a love for the things of the world that affected your love and obedience to Him. Now we know the scripture, don't we? If you love me, keep my commandments. You must look God in the face, knowing that you didn't love him enough. You put other loves in there. Loves that did not last. Loves that were worth nothing. You put between you and him. And he's going to know it too. He's going to know it too. He's going to know you gave him what's left. He's going to know you kept things back. And while it will not affect much as far as what heaven's going to be like for you, nor whether you're in or you're out, it will affect the way you stand in front of him. It will affect those things you're doing right now. Because there'll be a moment when there are no computers, no cell phones, no jobs, no paydays, no advances, no promotions, no career changes, no this, no that. There will be a time when you are no longer dad, mom, grandma, grandpa, mayor, president. Those things will all go. And it will be you and the things you have done. Those things that we love will be gone. The fancy banquets, the wonderful restaurants, the beautiful parks that we've been to, all the vacations, the beautiful sights and the things we participated in, those things will be gone. And it will be you and what you have done. Because as the Lord says, he gauges your love for him based on your obedience to him. You will last forever. And you'll last forever in one or two places. If I am sitting here today, knowing full well that I've got no idea whether or not I'm saved, that is the first business you need to take care of. Oh, I want to hold off because I don't know what I want, what I'm going to want out of life. I don't know what life has to offer. I'll tell you what it has to offer. It has to offer some fun things that won't last long and will take from you. That's what it has to offer. It's going to offer you some cucumbers. It's going to offer you some leeks. But I want to remind you that God can give you the cucumbers, the leeks, the milk, the honey. He can give you those things. Well, I want to have fun. Have fun? Have fun as a Christian? What kind of fun are you talking about? You want to go ziplining? Christian, go ziplining. I don't know why, but you can. Well, you know, I want to be able to travel a little bit. I want to be able to do this and see that. A Christian can do this and see that. I don't think that's what we're talking about. You want to do things God says don't do. Right. You want to experience things God says don't do. And I can point you to a dozen different directions of people who did those things and will tell you today they aren't worth it. Some saved, some lost. What's remarkable is even the lost people will tell you sin's bad for you. Yeah, I did that and it took my lungs. I did that and it took my liver. I did that and I got caused this to happen and this happened and all of a sudden that happened and now I've got child support bigger than my checks. They'll tell you. And then we sit there and say, I want to hold off because I want to see. You be real careful because God can give you more than what the world can give you. And the things that God can give you will last. I'm not saying that you're not going to have hard times. Lost people, saved people, we all have hard times. I'm just saying I've had a much better time as a saved person going through hard times than some of my counterparts. Had a much easier time. Listen, we cannot continue in sin believing that just because it's offering us something now that it's good for us. It's not. If I am a saved person, if I'm a saved person, I've got to take stock of what is in my life right now. And I've got to decide, is there something in there I love too much? I quote a Civil War general a lot when people ask me why I don't do certain things. You know, hey, Matt, why don't you drink? Matt, why don't you smoke? And one of my favorite quips, and I eventually do tell them the truth, but one of my favorite quips that I get back at people is, I'm afraid I might like it too much. That's what Stonewall Jackson would say about tobacco. Do you smoke tobacco? No, I'm afraid I might like it too much. You need to look at your life and decide, is there anything there that I love too much? Is there anything in there that's no longer just a hobby, no longer just a brief enjoyment, is there something there that I've come to love to where I've changed because of it? Not in a good way. I mean, we were just talking about education. Education should change you, should make you smarter, should make you wiser, should make you more disciplined. But I'm talking about the little things, some sinful, some not, that we are willing to make foolish decisions for. Those can be decisions made in our diet, made in our both our physical diet and what we entertain our minds with. You like it too much? You love it too much? Oh, yeah, those that are almost never in church on Sunday because they love their camper, they love this, they love that too much. They love the golf course too much. Can't go to church, I love it too much. If we get to that point, we've become slaves again. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a slave to anything. There ought to be nothing that ends in my life that makes me miserable. Now, can you enjoy your... can you enjoy your Coke Zero? Can you enjoy your favorite desserts? Can you enjoy the things of this? You can enjoy certain things, but don't cross to the point of love. Enjoy a sunset. Enjoy what you got, but don't sit there and love it to the point to where it changes you, to where you're willing to give for it. Instead, love the things that matter that way. Make sure that that love is appropriately placed, because there's not a person in this world that's going to be able to fight off that kind of temptation when they've developed too much of a love for it. There's plenty of things in this world to love proper. Plenty of the things that God has given us to love proper. Those things are of the Lord, though. Love those. But not this. Not this ball. Not this planet. Not these things. You want to love your country? Love your country, but not that way. Not to the point where patriotism takes over what should be there instead. Be a child of God first. Many wonderful things. Don't love them to the extent where it hurts you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for this command that you've given us through John. Lord, not to love this world nor the things of it. Father, you've given us a lot of things to like. Father, I enjoy the sunsets. I enjoy the food. I enjoy the scenery. I enjoy the participation, the things that we get to do. But Father, help me never to love it in the same way that I ought to love you or my family. Help me, Lord, never to get confused or, Lord, to have my priorities messed up by the love of a thing that shouldn't be loved so much. Help us, Lord, to stand true, to be pure of heart and mind, so that, Lord, we may have a proper perspective on the things of this world and the things of it. And, Lord, a proper love for your things and the things you've given us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.